Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, on the line with us. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you. We had a couple of really bad things happen in the last week, or a little bit past that, but and all of them are things that you guys are dealing with. Let's start with this. We heard from both Chief Randall and Chief Craner on Tuesday, Pensacola Police and Pensacola Fire Chiefs, about this fire last Friday in Zaragoza. And Mayor Reeves yesterday couldn't say a lot about it because ongoing investigation. But the question I think a lot of people have about this is, what happened? Like, they're not in the house. They're in a structure behind the house. These kids, was there an adult? Was there not an adult? How did the fire start? I mean, do we know anything yet? I know you guys are working on this.
Yeah, we are. You know, on the fire side, I'm sure they're looking for the point of origin and that sort of thing to find out exactly what happened there. But on our side of it, we're still looking to see if there was an adult on the property or near that. And like you said, it wasn't the house. It was a structure outside. So, you know, was it kids playing in the structure? Was, you know, we don't know. So that is, it's still an open investigation that we're looking into. It obviously was a very tragic incident that happened over there, and we want to make sure that we get it right.
Well, and you know, this structure, right, whatever happened in there was so complicated that they actually were cutting a hole in the roof to vent the smoke out so they could see to get in. And, you know, so I just don't know what to make of it, aside from it's a horrifying thing to lose a child like that. And we still have two that are in, you know, serious care and, you know, obviously hoping for the best for them. But if there was negligence, if there, you know, all of those things come into play on the criminal side. And we had another, not a fire related, but another terrible thing happen with a young person. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. It was a case where a one-year-old was left alone in a bathtub. The bathtub was full of water all the way to the top. And I don't have to tell you how quickly things can go bad there. And that's exactly what happened. Fortunately, 911 was called after the siblings saw that the baby was in trouble. 911 was called, and Pensacola police officers arrived quickly and began life-saving measures on this one-year-old. And I'm glad to say that the baby's going to be fine.
Oh, thank God. You started telling me this story, and I can't take another child dying at this time exactly, but thank good. But so the infant was in a bathtub with water to the lip. Huge error number one. Left alone in that situation, huge error number two. The other siblings discovered the baby and told the parent to call 911, and they did life-saving and got the baby back to life. That's unbelievable because of the time frames involved.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't take long. And like I said, we're just fortunate that everything unfolded as quickly as it did, and the officers were able to get there as quickly as they did and save that baby's life.
You know, it's been a long time since my kids were infants, okay? But I remember all of the thousands of different things you have to think about for their safety all the time. And, you know, let's start from the premise that there are some people with infants or soon to be that don't know. So, Officer Wood, you tell them bathtub safety, water safety. What are some of the key things you want to make sure that new parents know?
Never take your eyes off of them for one moment. That's the best thing I can say, because things can happen quickly. Even if in a bathtub with a small amount of water in it, you don't want to leave a child alone in the bathtub because they could fall over face down and ingest that water. So, just never leave them alone like that. And the big thing, and we've all heard about it many, many times, is the death occurring while co-sleeping. And that's also a very dangerous thing. So, put them in the crib by themselves without the blankets on their backs. And hopefully we won't have to hear about those stories anymore. But again, unfortunately, we do. We hear about them locally and nationally too often.
Never leave them in a car. Never let them sleep up against the wall on a mattress, because mattresses move and kids can get pinned. I mean, there's so many, you know, again, it's stuff that, you know, parents have to know because they're not trying to do harm, but obviously bad things. I mean, I remember we had when my now 19-year-old, he was, golly, 3 or 4, I think, at the time. And we were at a friend's, and it was a backyard party. And, you know, I'm watching him, and then all of a sudden he's in the pool. Just like that. And, you know, a buddy beat me to the pool and jumped in and grabbed him. But, you know, It's just you got to be like a hawk when you've got kids around water. You just have to be. You guys also have been doing some work with the Club Climax situation. You did this this SEPTED, this environmental study, in order to improve the safety of the facility. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, it's not just the facility; it's the area around it. They look at potential problems and make suggestions to the owner, the property owner. And that's not something we do just for Club Climax. We can do that for anybody's personal home or business. So we have officers that are trained in that, and you know, they're able to give suggestions on crime risk problems at any given property. So that was done with this location, and we're hoping, you know, there was a meeting with the owners, and we're hoping that things can be worked out there to where there's no more problems. And so what we do now is sit back and watch and see, and hopefully there won't be any more issues up there.
And this is everything from, you know, making sure that the shrubs are trimmed properly so that people don't have a place to hide if they're looking to burgle, you know, from safety concerns. And you know, I assume this also can involve, like, fire marshal inspections and making sure that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm assuming this is pretty comprehensive, right?
Yeah, it is. And some of that is over my head, so I'm not able to get into the specifics because I don't know the specifics. But burgle, that's, yeah. We don't want that to happen.
All right, very good. Hey, we always like to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was that?
That's just a term that makes me smile. I'm not even sure if it's real or not.
To burgle. I learned that one from McDonald's. It's 7:45. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Standstill at NAS. And they're picking up barrels, too, right now on the 3-mile bridge. So it could be all clear.
Oh, that's actually what I was going to ask Mike about next.
Oh,
all right.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, traffic on the fives. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Go ahead.
So thanks, Candy. Back to Mike Wood. So you are one of the people that has been sitting out on the bridge for, you know, as long as it's been under construction to monitor and make sure, a hired off-duty officer. You had put out that you thought maybe this morning they would go to opening the 3 lanes going southbound. Do you have any update for us?
When I left this morning at 5, the barrels were still there. It sounds like they may be picking them up now, and you know, hopefully so. I know the painting on the bridge is done, and most of the work being done now is on the approach on the Gulf Breeze side. There's a lot of work being done over there. There's some minor work being done on the Pensacola side on the approach. So they're very close to having that bridge complete. I know they've got to do some work maybe tonight or next week, several nights next week, on the LED lighting. And then after that, we'll see what happens. It's very close, though, of being completely done.
But also, they've added some signage to try to prevent trucks from getting shredded at the graffiti bridge. Is that right?
Yeah. Last night, they put up a huge sign on the bridge. If you're coming from Gulf Breeze, approaching the 17th Avenue exit, they put up a huge sign that says no trucks. So hopefully that's going to help out.
Yeah, good. It can't hurt. I mean, it can't be less effective than what we used to always do, which was nothing. And we're taking little baby steps in the right direction. Do you have a cop myth for us today, or did you know that about cops?
Yeah, it's not a myth. It's something very simple, and it's how to talk to police officers in uniform. And you would be amazed at the amount of people that just don't know what to say. They feel like they want to say something, and they just don't know what to say. So I am here to help.
So the way I've always understood is that the key form of communication with a uniformed law enforcement officer is lots of loud profanity. Isn't that typically that's the...
Yeah, like in the movies.
Yeah, right. That's not the preferred, no?
Well, let's not try that. That's not preferred. Yeah, that wouldn't go too well. If you want our attention, that's definitely going to get our attention. But, you know, something very simple is good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You know, that's it. We hear a lot of thank you for your service, and we like to hear that. What doesn't really work very well, because we've all heard it a million times in our careers, is throwing your hands up and saying, I didn't do it. That one doesn't work. We're not too fond of that one.
And it's kind of funny because, I mean, I hate to say the obvious, but y'all are people, you know, so the way you talk to people is the way you can talk to cops, you know, hopefully in a decent way. I was caught off guard one time because I pulled up, and it just kind of one of those you don't think about it, but I pulled up to an Escambia County Sheriff's deputy who was parked in the parking lot at one of the malls, and I didn't think anything of it. Because I just wanted to ask him a question. And his first comment to me was, sir, if you're going to drive a car that's got tinted windows and you're going to pull up to me in a parking lot, do me a favor and just park a little farther away and roll down your window so that I can see and, you know, let me know that this is going to be an okay situation. I thought, wasn't thinking about that, but yeah, fair enough, because you don't know who I am in that car, right?
Yeah, that's certainly understandable for him to say that, because a lot of people just don't think about that. We have to think about that all the time, about potential dangers. And when somebody pulls up in a car with dark tinted windows and we can't see who's inside, we have no idea if they're about to wave at us, ask us a question, or point a weapon at us. And so that's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, so it's always kind of just, you know, take a second and think from the other person's point of view, especially if they're a police officer. Mike Wood, he is the Pensacola Public Information Officer for Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for what you do. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.